accurately and precisely, and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. We've been talking about different ways we identify with Messiah or Christ. And one of the ways that we need to identify with him is we need to be able to obtain his peace. And I'll talk about that this morning. But in verse 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Now, when we were studying, we did that several weeks on numbers in the Bible. We looked at Genesis chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2, that said that the earth was without form or void. And the word there was tohu in Hebrew for form and void. It was tohu. And it meant, if you remember, it meant confusion, an empty place, nothing, not vain vanity, a wasteland or wilderness, a desert, moral and spiritual emptiness, or it means chaos. Amen? And so the earth was filled with chaos, but God brought order to that earth. You remember when your life was in sin and in chaos, and how when you said yes to Jesus, God brought order into your life. Amen? Well, right here the Apostle Paul is saying clearly that the God we serve is not the author of confusion or chaos. He is a God of peace. Amen? Turn with me to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, I don't have a page. You just have to get there. Go left. Mark chapter 4, page 1300. And it looks like 1357. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you. Verse 35. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea," now watch this, it's going to be important in a minute, "'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" They asked this question. Who can this be? Let's see if we can find an answer. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, page 885. You got a Bible like mine. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore." Now the disciples in that boat, when Jesus calms the storm, they're like, "Who is this?" I think the old King James says, "What manner of man is this?" The reason they're asking that question is they believe, being good Jews in the first century, they believed that God and God alone controlled the weather. Amen? And the elements. So here's this man stands up and he rebukes the storm and he says, "Peace, be still." And they ask a question, "Who is this?" Because only God can do this. Who is this? And over here in Isaiah, he says he's wonderful. Counselor. Wow. Wonderful counselor. Let me make sure I spell this right. The word wonderful here is Pele. And the word counselor is Yoetz. And this word means miraculous. It also means, let me get it right here, it also means to marvel or wonder. To marvel or wonder. It means extraordinary. Now, this word Yoetz, let's get it right. Yoetz, it means to counsel or advise. Let's put that up here. Counsel or advise. But it also means something else. It means to execute. A plan. Unto us a child is given, unto us, or unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor. His name will be Miraculous, Marvel, Wonder, Extraordinary. And guess what he's going to do? With miracles, signs, and wonders, he's going to execute God's plan. Amen. Are you with me? Now stay with us. It's going to be important here in a minute. You know who Jesus is. So this is the first name. Now, I think the next one is El Gibor. El Gibor. Mighty God. El Gibor. Now, the root word of this in Hebrew is just three letters. Gibor. It means mighty. However, when you have these double B's, okay, it means even more, or it means even greater. So this is just not a mighty God. This is the mightiest of gods. Amen? And with signs and wonders and miracles, he's going to execute God's plan. Oh, come on now. Hang in there with me. Come on, because we're going to get to peace here in just a minute. Now, there's two of them. I think we got two more here. All right, or three more, two more, three more. All right, let's get this next one. Eternal Father. Wow, I like this one. Avi'ad. Odd here, this one is the eternal part, or forever. Avi means my father. Okay, what do we get out of Avi'ad, forever, my father? You know what? The idea of God being your father, a father is to protect, to provide, amen? And so the idea of him being eternal father is that he is going to provide and protect. He can be trusted forever. The Bible says that God never changes. Amen? Amen? So here's the names of Jesus, Wonderful Counselor. He with miraculous signs and wonders, he's going to execute God's plan. Amen? And he's the El Gibor, the mighty God. Not the mighty God, but he's the mightiest God. Amen? And not only that, he's Avi'ad. He's my father forever. Amen. In other words, do you know how many of you ever walked away from God, but then you had to come back? See, nothing changed with him. What changed was with you. However, when you came back, he was still Father, was he not? He's Father forever. As a matter of fact, you couldn't have come back unless he had been wooing you with his Spirit. He is our loving Father forever. And then there's, I think it's one last one, the Sar Shalom, or the Prince of Peace. Whew. Glory to God. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace in Hebrew. This is where it gets gooder and gooder. Hang in there with me. I'm going to spell it with the Hebrew letters. A Shin, a Lamed, a Vav, and a Mem. Okay? The Shin, it's pictographic meaning. It would be teeth. Okay? The Lamed is a shepherd's crook. And a Vav is a nail. And a Mem is water. Okay? Now, we want to find the root meaning of this peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen? All right. A lot of times when you see the Shin, it means to destroy or devour. Okay? And the shepherd's crook, you know, that shepherd uses that crook to lead and guide those sheep. So the Lamed can stand for leader or teacher or authority. Now the nail simply means to bind. Okay, now in the old pictograph, this Mem looked like this: waves of water. You ever seen a choppy ocean? You know, when the wind's blowing, it's just all whipped up. So sometimes it carries the idea of chaos. Okay? So what does peace really mean? At its root, it means wholeness or completeness. Okay? But what has to be done in order for you to be whole? You must destroy the leader or the authority that binds you to chaos. See, that was the plan. The miraculous Jesus executed God's plan to destroy the authority that had us bound to chaos. Woo, my. Now, let's go back to our Bibles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can stop right there and I'd be happy. Let's go back to Mark. We're going back to Mark's gospel, right back where we were at. Only I think we're going to chapter 5. We finish chapter 4, we'll go to chapter 5. Wonderful Counselor, with signs and wonders, executed the plan of the mightiest God. Whew. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now remember, shalom, wholeness. So you can't be made whole until you destroy the authority that has bound your life to chaos. And if anybody's ever been in sin and been running from God like I did, okay, your life is just chaotic. Amen? Now, let's pick it up in verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when they come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Now there's a storm, and the disciples are fearful. Fear has gripped them, right? Fear has bound itself to them. And now I can imagine it was kind of a chaotic scene there in that boat when they're all thinking they're going to die, going to drown. But Jesus stands up and he says, "What? Peace be still." What did he do? He destroyed the authority that had bound them to the chaos or the fear. He stood up and said, "Peace be still." He spoke to the storm, and they're like, "Who is this?" What was God incarnate in the flesh? Amen. And now we've got a demon-possessed man who nobody could bind with chains. And now he's sitting there in his right mind because Jesus has rebuked the authority that had bound his life to chaos. Somebody say amen. See, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, death bound itself to mankind. Because sin, the wages of sin is death. So there in the garden, mankind, you and I, we were bound to death. However, Jesus comes, and on a cross at Calvary, he pays the penalty for your sin and mine, and by that, he miraculously destroys what had bound itself to us. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he is the one that destroys and rebukes those things in our life that try to bind us. Amen? Just like he released the guys in the boat, just like he released the demonic Gadarene. Let's look at one more here. Go right there to verse 21. "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, and that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in wholeness, because I've destroyed the power or the authority that had bound itself to you." Amen. Now you can go in peace. Amen. When sin grips your heart, the only answer to America's problem is to allow the Prince of Peace, invite him in and repent. And when we repent, he destroys the authority that had us bound to sin. Amen. Glory to God. That's why he's the Prince of Peace. Well, let me keep your finger right there. I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna finish reading this here in Isaiah 9. It says in Isaiah 9, Floyd. Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government or authority and peace, there will be no end." There will be no end. That means his authority is increasing. Amen? I mean, it's increasing. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a time in America when America, there are people trying to divide America. Amen? I told my little brother, I texted him last night, because Monday night when the Browns played, there was 12 players that took a knee during the national anthem. But somewhere between Monday and last night, Jim Brown spoke to him. And Jim told him, "You're Americans. That's your anthem. That's your flag. Show it some respect." And last night, they all stood. And I text my brother, and he said, "Jim Brown's still scary even though he's old." But you know what? Jim Brown ain't nothing compared to Jesus. Amen. And my Bible says, of his authority and his peace and peace, his ability to destroy those things that bind us to chaos, it will never end. Never end. That means when Jackie gets set free, Mike can be set free. People in the street can be set free, because Jesus' authority and his ability to destroy that authority that binds us increases and continues. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. What I was about to say is this: we live in a chaotic world. But you know what? I do believe with all my heart that Jesus' authority is increasing. His peace is increasing. Amen. It's building to the point that he could step down at any moment. Amen. Bible says he'll stand on the Mount of Olives, and that mount will split in half, and he'll enter that holy city through the eastern gate. Amen. Glory to God. Now the Arabs, they got it blocked up and got a graveyard there because they know that a Jewish high priest can't touch anything dead. So they put tombs outside there. I think he'll probably step right over that. That's just my guess. Anyway. Split it and walk between it. Now let's go. He tells that woman, go in peace. Be healed of your afflictions, or be whole. While I was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. A tumult's an uproar. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. I think that's a bad translation. What that really says is this, little girl in the tallit, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Now, turn with me to Malachi real quick, in case you don't know this. Malachi. Or Malachi, the Italian prophet. Chapter 4. Probably verse 2. Starting verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stalled calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Now, it says he will arise with healing in his wings. Now, I don't know, some of you should know this by now. But the word translated wings actually is the word for tzitzit, these. This is what she reached out and touched, the woman with the issue of blood. Because they represent the word of God. Amen? So in essence, she was standing on the word of God. So Jesus comes and he wraps the little girl in his tallit. Okay? Which represented his authority and the word of God. Amen? And they were healed. Glory. They were made whole. Hallelujah. Now keep that in mind. Go back to John's gospel. What do you mean go back to John's gospel? We ain't been there yet. Well, we was there last week. John 14. John 14. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace, wholeness, I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, Lord, how? Well, let me keep reading. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. My Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now Jesus says, my peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God that passes all understanding. What is that? Well, one, that's the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's the presence of God in you. Amen? But it's more than that. That presence of the Holy Spirit. See, Paul gets this. Paul understands this. Paul says that Spirit living in you is the same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave. It's the same power in which Jesus did miracles, healing the woman with the issue of blood. It's the same power when he raised that child from the dead. It's the same power that rebuked the storm. Amen. And when Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, it's the same power that destroyed those things, that the authority that had you bound to chaos. Amen. So what am I saying to you? Listen, no matter what you go through, no matter what you're going through, know this, that Jesus has already destroyed that authority. Don't let it attach itself to you again. Amen? Because Jesus has already destroyed that authority. Paul uses this term. Paul says we're more than conquerors. Amen? To me, Jesus' peace that he leave with us, for me, that means his victory. It's his victory over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. That means I can have the presence of God. I can have the peace of God in the midst of a storm because his presence is dwelling in me. Amen? As long as I recognize his presence in me and I don't get to magnifying the problem, I can walk in that peace. But if I start magnifying the problem, then I'm not going to have any peace in my life. Amen? Amen. And when Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, I believe we could translate it this way, my victory I leave with you. Walk in that victory. Walk in that peace. Do you know you control what you give your mind to? Huh? If you let your mind run off with worry and fear and everything else, then you are wasting the peace of God that's on the inside of you. You control that mind. Peter said to bind up your mind. Amen? Bind it up. Walk in his victory. Walk in his peace. Amen? Let me show you one other scripture and I'll close. Turn with me to Philippians. Philippians. I think it's chapter 4. We'll find it. Philippians chapter 4. I wrote it down. At least I hope I wrote it down. Verse 7. No wonder it wasn't 17. All right, here we go. Verse 4. I said 7, but we'll start 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you believe, really believe, that Jesus executed God's plan by destroying the authority that had bound our lives to chaos? How many of you believe that? All right, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. We're not done. I want you to stand up, and I want you to grab somebody by the hand. Okay? Grab somebody by the hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you going to set your faith in agreement form with me? You are? I haven't even told you what we're doing yet. But you're going to set your faith in agreement. Chaos, cancer, has bound itself to Teresa and to Cheryl. But my Bible says that Jesus has destroyed that authority that has bound their lives to chaos. Amen? And we're gonna speak the peace of God upon him right now. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift up our sisters to you. And Father, the enemy has come along and he has bound their lives to cancer. And Father, we know that the Prince of Peace has executed your miraculous plan. And we are going to walk in that peace this morning, in that authority and that victory for our sisters. And we just speak to that chaos, that cancer, and we command you to loose them now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Father, make them whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You can be seated. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time, all the time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. You know, the other morning, I was really tired. At 3 o'clock, my eyes popped wide open. And I knew in my heart I had to go see Teresa. God just laid on my heart. So I was like, I'm going up there, Lord. I need you to do something. I need you to do something. She needs you to do something. And so just seeing her lifted me up. You know, I'm not so sure I did her any good, but, you know. Gracie, you and Jackie helped me out here. But where would we be? Where would we be if we couldn't trust the eternal Father? Amen. I wouldn't even want to live. I don't think I'd even want to live in this world if I couldn't have faith in God. Trust in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty, mighty name. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These elements represent the body and blood of Jesus. How many of you know that was part of God's plan? Amen. And Jesus going to a cross at Calvary, he executed that plan. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body. We thank you that you allowed it to be broken for us. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes, Teresa and Cheryl are healed and made whole. And Father, we just thank you for Jesus. The Lord Jesus commanded us that when we took of this bread and this cup, we should do it in remembrance of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you gave your life, that we could be partakers of that life. And in remembrance of you this morning, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit. You are our high priest, and you are our soon coming King. And with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hold your cup up. You're ready on three. One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. The Bible says life is in the blood, and the Lord Jesus poured out his life at Calvary so that we could have that life, and not only have it, but we could have it abundantly. Eternal life. We could come back into a relationship with the Father. It also represents that betrothal ceremony, that fourth cup that the bride drank, signifying she would remain faithful until he comes. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in her heart, as a symbol of our faithfulness to you until you come, we take and drink of this cup. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, let's stand up. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. 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 Father, I just pray you hear the heart's cry of this mother. And Lord, you show Teresa. Let something manifest in her body that will give her hope. And Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Lord God, you be with these, your faithful. Lord, give us someone this week that we can witness about your mercy, your grace. Father, I love that song. I've been singing it, my spirit, all week long. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. Give us someone this week that we can share that mercy and goodness with. Protect us, lead us, guide us, and direct us. Bring us back Wednesday night, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Huh? Oh, can you turn the cameras off? Katrina wants to say something. Huh? They're off. They're not live streaming. Okay.